Stand back. There's a hurricane coming through.
Paul Kuharsky from PaulKuharsky.com with us for the next hour here on the program. I fixed my microphone. Everything's good to go.
Nice. That's quite an adventure. I mean, it really took some time. You would have thought.
It's like a seesaw.
You would have thought that Ian would have been in here taking care of the talent. I mean, he's a guy that needs to have a screwdriver and a work belt on and come in here.
You don't want that.
And fix that thing.
Ian has a lot of things he has to deal with on.
I mean, I used to work with a guy who would have been in here just fixing that, and I could have.
Tape measure?
Not been of use at all, as I am on technical.
Oh, Robbie is more handy than I am.
Yeah,
that's an area where you need that in your yearly review. That should come up that you need to get better at that.
Yearly reviews, we have those around here.
PK gives them. He's an independent contractor who gives a yearly review.
Only to me.
Next Friday after the show.
Okay, I'll be ready.
Yeah, bring a notebook.
Notebook, not just a notepad.
Notebooks.
Bring the entire book.
Multiple.
So, PK, it looked for the longest time on Sunday like the Titans were going to find a way to win another game, maybe win, and maybe do the unthinkable, win back-to-back games for the first time since 2022. They did not. I mean, the defense could not stop anything in the second half of that game. New Orleans did whatever they wanted to do on the offensive side of the ball. And Cam Ward in the offense, after having a good first half, fell apart there in the second half. So, in totality, we talked about the macro of the progress that Cam Ward has made over the last month of the season here. There's one game left, and we'll get into that coming up. But what did you make of the game on Sunday, how that factors in to this conversation of the progress that's going on, but they can't get it together long enough back-to-back to come up with a couple of wins in a row?
Well, things were moving along nicely, and it gets you thinking – well, this is some linear progress going on here. And then you get a big reminder that it's not linear progress. I feel like the whole team felt like after they missed all those tackles and forced the fumble at the three and miraculously recovered it when two Saints dove at it and it wound up on one of their asses in the end zone and they miraculously recovered it. Hey, we just preserved a 26-20 lead. We're fine. And both sides of the ball stopped playing from there. The Saints gained 144 yards on 11 plays from there and scored two touchdowns. Both really the touchdown play keyed by one of these inexperienced defensive backs who shouldn't be on the field. And Cam and the offense just didn't do anything from there. 41 net passing yards, I think, from there. 5 rushing yards. It's just like they turned off the game and thought, somehow, that fumble recovery was it. Game sealed. There were 11 minutes left. You know how much can happen in 11 minutes. So, really disappointing what they did from there. I'm impressed how many Titans fans were upset that they didn't go win that game instead of like, oh, good, they stopped playing and our draft position isn't worsened at all. But shows you just how limited they are still. In terms of getting things done, they actually missed. I thought Van Jefferson, who's played a little bit better and has been a viable target for Cam Ward. Titans always end up in this situation where late in the game, Kinsey, who made a great play, Prochet are on the field. It's almost like most of the time it's injuries, but sometimes it feels like, Nolensville, where they put the lesser guys in late in the game and say, okay, you guys have a run at it. And the defense is just, I mean, poor Denard Wilson just having to play. This is a 7th and 8th quarterback. And they didn't rank there in camp because they weren't on the roster.
It's bad in the secondary. It's almost impossible.
When you get hurt that badly or lose that many players at one position, that dooms a season. Not that the Titans were going to have anything, but if they had – their 4th and 5th or their 3rd and 4th cornerbacks, you can survive. But he's playing JV guys.
Yeah, so there's a few things off that. One, Denard Wilson did say, I think you asked him, right? Head coach? Heck yeah. Wants to be the head coach here. I do think overall.
It's not going to happen.
No.
I mean, it's
no.
And he does deserve an interview.
But
he's done some great work.
Is he a potential keeper as a DC?
Depends on who the head coach.
Sure. Like if you get the offensive head coach who doesn't have someone – obvious. Is that possible? Another thing is, yeah, they've strapped this team. It's hard to watch. They're terrible. They're not NFL players back there. But also, we talked about this the other day, but it's just you think again about this offseason with the more glaring needs that we all know they have, but it's like you also have to completely rebuild the corner room, and I still just have a problem with what they did getting rid of two young corners. Both of them. I have a real problem with both moves together. When you look at the whole situation, we all know Snead's not going to be here next year.
Well,
Explain it to me.
I wrote after the game that this game was lost 2 years ago when they decided L'Jarius Snead was going to be their star corner. And when they traded Brownlee, who I understand the cultural aspect, but he can cover, guys. And McCreary, you know, if you wanted tank-like moves and all of that stuff, between that and then you lose Harris, who, you know, has some promise, and then you lose Armour Davis, who stinks, but is still a level better than these guys. Yeah. You know, all of those things add up. But this game was lost the way they lost it, based on who lost it months ago.
Yeah.
You know, even 2 years ago.
So flip it forward. I mean, like, you have so much to do just in that room, along with everything else.
They need
three. Is this not a misstep?
They need three starting cornerbacks. Right, like when you're talking outside and nickel, they need three in one offseason. I think, you know, Marcus Harris, we'll see. Like, I think could be a depth guy, but they need three.
Yeah, Marcus
starters.
Harris needs to be your fourth at best. Maybe he could work his way up to starting nickel, but he would be your weak person unless he makes a jump, and who knows?
But he may have to make a jump because they can't address all this.
Is Emmanuel Mosley, is he on the Rams? I might be thinking of the wrong guy. I mean, there's a long list of free agent corners, but none of them really stand out. You know, they're going to have to find a guy they like out of that bunch and have at least one of them be something for them. And
it says he's on the Lions right now.
I'm looking at that. All right, he's not who I'm thinking of. I'm thinking of Emmanuel Forbes, who's ridiculously good and not a free agent. Boy, if they could have somebody like Emmanuel Forbes key their secondary, that would be something.
You'll get Alante Taylor. He broke up about 9 passes on Sunday from Cam Ward.
He did. How about Adoree Jackson? Is he going to be coming
isn't
free?
Isn't it amazing the career that Adoree Jackson has gone on to have? Like, he's a permanent fixture in the NFC North.
Yeah,
NFC East. The staying power he's had is rather remarkable. But that also is a commentary on kind of depth pieces at cornerback around the league. And you wish the Titans at least had one guy like that to linger on. If you look at cornerback on this team, there's nobody that you say has to be on the team.
I mean, you can make fun of Adoree Jackson, but he'd be the best corner on this team by far.
No, absolutely.
And it was when he left, it was like, yeah, good luck.
Yeah, they have a lot.
Well, the most hilarious part of all this is looking at the defense heading into the year, and this just shows you how much you can take away from training camp and what all that means. But looking at the defense heading in the year, it was like, yeah, you know, I think the strength of the defense is probably Sweat and Simmons up the middle. And then right behind that, if everybody's healthy at corner, they should be fine.
Should be good at
with
corner.
With Brownlee, Snead, and with McCreary, they ought to be okay. And now look where they are.
Wilson keeps sneaking Sweat into his praise. I mean, is Sweat doing anything as pass rusher?
I'm not noticing him a whole lot.
So, I mean, to me, I think he's 2 years in. Maybe he gets better, but he's a run stuffer, which is nice. Again, the Titans' tendency to underdraft second-round players as role guys.
Overdraft?
Overdraft, sorry. But I need more than a run stuffer, you know, situational
38th
run
overall.
Stuffer. 38th overall.
Yeah, I will say – The data and the film at that point, he was a tremendous pass rusher in his last year at Texas. He had he had a ridiculous number of pressures, and it was him and who was the other tackle with him who was doing much better in the NFL.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
It was an absurd combination of players, but you thought that there could have been some of that. To me, he doesn't look like he's in
Byron
the type,
Murphy.
There you go. That he's in the type of shape that you have to be in this league to be able to do that, right? Which again was a big concern, just about the overall. Is he going to be as serious as needed about being great?
6'1", 5'6".
I don't think he is.
Yeah, I mean, that's a big one of the big training camp tests for this team, and there are many.
615-737-1025, our phone number. Lots more coming with Paul Kuharski from paulkuharski.com. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. College football game of the week, number 10 Miami, number 2 Ohio State in the college football playoff. Catch all the action on 102.5 The Game tonight at 6:30. Coverage presented by Circus Sportsbook Kentucky and also available in the Game Nashville app and at thegamenashville.com. Paul Kuharski with us here on the program. PK, we've gone through some of the needs, and boy, are there a lot more that the Titans roster is going to have this offseason, and we will get more into the offseason when the offseason arrives. However,
It's game week, baby.
I mean, we got the Milky Pool is going to be flowing. I expect PK to be in it. Live report this weekend.
PK will be in that, standing at that urinal, splashing away, and someone will be washing their hands like 3 inches from him. You don't know what I'm talking about?
The Jacksonville,
you seriously don't know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah.
The weirdest freaking bathroom ever.
You'd love that bathroom.
Like, hey, what is that splash? Is that from me washing my hands, or is that from the urine from the guy who's right next to me? I don't know. Let's mix it all together. Fly is open. Let's go pee.
That's right.
You could just
Good job, Jacksonville.
Just time it up where nobody else is in there.
Yeah, that's what you have to do.
You guys ever heard of a partition you could install here?
Or at least like a little bit of space between the two things.
I mean, it's not a brand new.
Left hand and then wash the right and then turn around. I don't know. Maybe that's the idea.
Just go rinse off in the Milky Pool. It'll all be good.
That's fortunately right. for that's you, right. you won't be there.
Yes, it is.
You know, believe it or not, I was eventually going to turn this into a Chig Okonkwo question. How we dove off on that.
Sorry.
No, it's all good. It's all good. So, Okonkwo, I mean, a great play that he made on Sunday.
Very nice.
Clearly, I mean, there's some chemistry there between he and Ward. And, again, I don't think Chig's ever going to turn into, you know, some top-flight tight end in the NFL. But has he made enough of a statement with his play this year, PK, where it should be a no-brainer that the Titans try to bring him back into the fold next year?
I don't know. I think everybody's feeling that way, but I think it totally depends on who the coach is and what they want to do, what they intend to do in terms of three wide, two tight, what they're looking for blocking wise. You know, it's hard to find. We say this all the time. You know, the big conventional NFL blocking tight end is just not coming out of college, so it's very difficult to find that. And Chig is good at what he does. He's not featured. You know, they haven't featured these guys. Some weeks, you know, there was a week where there were 11 targets between Okonkwo and Helm, and then, you know, next week comes around. Next 2 weeks come around for Helm, and he's got like 3 targets total between 2 games. So I don't know. And I don't know that the front office – I can't say this. I don't know what the front office feels about him. I feel like questions like that are going to fall more in the basket of the coaching staff, what they want to do personnel-wise, and what they feel about size, speed, blocking ability.
Sorry, I've been angrily answering Nash BBQ Bob, who seems to think we think that Sweat's an edge rusher. Yeah, dude, if you go where he went in the draft, you need to do more than just be a plugger up front.
Yeah, you don't everybody has pluggers.
No, but have you seen him? He's so gigantic. He's so gigantic.
I mean, I do like when he rubs his belly when he makes a play. It's just we don't see it often.
We've seen it twice this year,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah.
People so fascinated with the bigness that they forget to look at where the bigness is on the field.
How about the other guy from his class who we've talked extensively about?
Getting better.
Yeah, like how much better? Quantify it for us. Do you feel about him than you did like 3-4 weeks ago?
Well, I don't know that he's been facing.
By the way, it's J.C. Latham who we're talking about.
I don't know that he's been facing the same caliber of pass rushers necessarily, but look, everybody's
Saints have some dudes.
Yeah, everybody's coming at you from the edge. I think it was about 7 games left when he was getting roasted and everybody wanted to put him at guard, like immediately. And I like with a lot of things, I said, you got to wait and see and hope. Like, their best hope isn't to move him to guard. Their best hope is to leave him at right tackle and wait
important.
And see and hope that he improves. And he's improved. He's played better. And, you know, the next regime's going to come in here and want him to be the right guard. And Mike Herndon pointed
right
out.
Right tackle.
Right tackle. And, yeah, sorry, that was bad. And Mike Herndon pointed this out, like, him starting to play better about 3-4 weeks ago was kind of in sync with when Peter Skoronski started to play better in his second year. And if that, you know, that's unfortunate timing for the Titans that they have two first round offensive linemen that
potentially late bloomers.
Yeah, they're kind of late bloomers. But if he's there and if they have an offensive staff and particularly an offensive line coach that can connect with him and get out of him what he's been doing and better, they can be set at those two spots. I feel so much better about the offensive line now. Cushenberry, I think, has played better also. And, you know, I'd be comfortable if the new staff is comfortable going forward with four of the five and just replacing Zeitler and maybe replacing Zeitler with, you know, another free agent a la Zeitler.
I think that that's been a little bit disappointing. Is Mandor like? I mean, Mandor's the guy, right? Mandor has to be.
I think that's a 2-year commitment.
He's hinged next year.
Yeah. I think that's 2-year commitment.
Yeah. I love that it's just Mandor.
Yeah, I mean, again,
we don't even have to clarify.
Like on Sunday, Dan Moore. Who's that? Oh yeah, Mandor. Yeah, that's right.
It's just
Joe's gonna do a whole segment with like. Nicknames or vague references to guys.
Braves.
You have to
That's
interrupt.
Braves doing.
You have to interrupt.
Didn't, but you didn't skip a beat. You just answered the question.
I guess every time Joe asks questions. For clarification, it's J.C. Latham, or this is Dan Moore we're talking about.
But with Mandor, Paul was like, oh, yeah, well, with Mandor, well, yeah, I think Mandor will be here next year.
I've come to I don't love the name. I don't think it's your best work. I don't know who your best work is. I don't know that you've struck gold.
I mean, Mandor is 100% dead on accurate.
The berserker thing is not great. Mandor, it's not bad, but it hasn't like caught fire. You haven't caught fire with anybody.
I guess we need to go to TikTok with this to catch fire.
I mean, you've caught fire with Skiatika.
Are you big on TikTok?
No doubt. That's true, Skiatika. No, I'm not on TikTok.
My TikTok doesn't go anywhere, but I have to say my Instagram reels are strong.
There you go.
I get, you know, 7,000-8,000 on some of my stand-ups, and then when I hit something big, like the mascot versus kids game, you know, I get into 20,000-30,000.
So a lot of people.
So you're putting all this stuff on Twitter, and you put the exact same stuff on Instagram?
Yeah. No, I put this stuff just on Instagram.
You get the reels.
Sometimes I'll put it on Twitter.
So when you have,
Twitter doesn't like the videos as much.
So which one, on which platform do naked men do better?
Yeah, I haven't done naked men since that one. I'm reformed. I'm totally reformed.
Hey, but you know, there's a chance this week. You know, the Instagram reel, the TikTok. Live from either the urinal or the Milky Pool down there in Jacksonville. Yeah. It's got some.
Should
good
I take a picture of it
Insta live in the bathroom
so that you can have an illustration of what you're talking about?
That's a good idea.
He's gonna show up to the stadium
because I can get in there when it's empty, unlike you.
He's gonna. Show
you only
up to
go
the
in there when there's a line.
When the Jacksonville PR department's gonna be like, "Yeah, you're not allowed in here, man. Get out. you're a minute." Yeah,
what if I'm in there trying to take a picture like when people are in there? It'd be like a Costanza moment or Kramer. Like Kramer's taking notes on guys taking showers.
Head back to the phone.
It's all the same pipes.
Driven by Wilson County Hyundai.com. Welcome in, Adam, in Portland to the show. Adam, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Hey, man. Yeah, so let me ask you. So y'all were talking about Chig, and I think I was a very hard Chig critic. I thought he sucked bad his first 2 years, and I was loud about it. But I think he's gotten better. Like he's one of the few players that I could say he's gotten better. And I like our tight end group probably better than any position besides kick returner. And so I don't – like, he feels like John New to me. Like, I don't know if y'all can make that comparison or if you can get there, but John New was the same way. He was super slow, and then at the very end, he played a lot better, especially during that playoff run, and then we ended up letting him go. So I want to see if you can make the same comparison there.
John, who is a much better talent than Chig has been.
He did take a long time.
It took some time. Yeah. I don't know that he was ever slow, but he took some time to put it all together. But he was, he's still a weapon.
The interesting thing about Chig is, this is going to end up being a career year for him, but these are his numbers the last 3 years. 2023, 54 catches, 528 yards, one touchdown. Last year, 52 catches, 479 yards, two touchdowns. And right now, he's at 54 catches, 558 yards, and two touchdowns. It's like all the same, right there together.
It's a lot of
and
catches.
And yet it looks different. It looks different, but yeah.
It's a lot of catches for a team that doesn't have a lot of places to go. So it's dangerous to undervalue it. I mean, he's the team's leader in receptions with 54, and DK's second with 45. And Helm, who everybody feels like is underused, is third at 44.
Yeah, I'm not trying to knock it. I'm just saying it's amazing. Like, he basically, that's the production every year is about what he's at right now. I mean, there's a slight difference from year to year, but it's pretty much right in line.
Yeah, and yet I do absolutely feel like he's gotten quite a bit better.
Yeah.
It looks that way.
Let's head back to the phone line. Welcome in.
But they
Kinston.
Put out – hold on 1 second. They put out the Titans are hitting some milestones that I'm unimpressed by, right? Like, I don't want to demean Chig. I don't want to demean DK, right? That's great that he's, like, had the best all-purpose or the best kick – is it kick return? The best kick return season for a rookie ever?
Yeah.
Or the best all-purpose?
All-purpose.
He's right? up there, yeah.
But the best all-purpose season for a rookie ever. Okay. So, like, that sounds great. Now think about it. Like – how many rookies are doing that much work for their team?
Kick return, punt return, and
right?
receiver.
Yeah. Like, he broke Tim Brown's record, so that's impressive that he broke Tim Brown's record. But most of the guys who are doing the all-purpose work, like, think of Derek Mason. They didn't let him play receiver until, like, year three.
Yeah.
So, like, it's not that it's not.
Yeah, so you're just a hater. Cool.
Yeah.
Happy New Year.
It's just not that big. And I was going to look back. I think they said, like, Chig is the third Titans wide receiver to have 2,000 yards, to reach 2,000 yards. I mean, that's nothing. Frank Wycheck had two 1,000-yard seasons. Delanie Walker had several 1,000-yard seasons. That's not a number to tout to me.
No. Are you going to let us get to the car?
Go ahead.
Kinston, welcome into the show. Thank you for calling in.
What's going on, guys? I appreciate the banner. Question, coincidentally enough, for Paul. I know he had kind of touched on this before. In the words of the late, great Floyd Reese, you don't cut guys just to cut guys without having a replacement plan. Looking at how Stephon Diggs kind of worked out for Drake May this year, 2 years removed from an ACL, kind of helped propel him. I know, Paul, you had spoken on it before about Calvin Ridley in an effort to not have another hole to fill where maybe you kind of draft a guy high to kind of be your future number, your current number two, maybe future number one. Do you think it would be feasible to cut Calvin Ridley? Because, I really don't want to see him go have a good year for another team next year, kind of bring him back, let him have some continuity, and kind of really, I'm thinking of the cut candidates, maybe only Snead is a guy that you're for sure going to cut, maybe Pollard, but kind of holding continuity with the rest of the guys. Eager to know what you guys think about that.
Thanks. We will get into that coming up next. Good question, Kinston. Appreciate the call. We will answer that coming up next. Take your thoughts from PK, 615-737-1025. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Paul Kuharsky with us here on the program. PK Kinston asking you about Calvin Ridley at the end of that last segment. What do you think things go from here with him?
I think it's played out. I think coming back from this injury will slow him a little bit, take away what's made him good. I don't have the numbers in front of me, and they don't need to save money, obviously, but I think it's time to go a different direction at wide receiver. They've been due to draft a wide receiver high and have a young guy grow up in their system and with Cam now. And I think we've seen the last of Ridley here.
Well, I think there are going to be, there's not going to be, I don't think, any wide receiver one targets out there. But there are going to be some available wide receivers in free agency that they absolutely should target. And we've talked about some of those guys, whether it's Dobbs or Pierce from Indianapolis. Like, I think there will be some guys out there that they've got a chance to go get if they want to.
I think it's highly possible that they draft a wide receiver in the first round.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I'm talking about even in addition to that.
Yeah. Like,
yeah. Yeah. No. Ideally, they get two. They get one in free agency and they get one in the draft in the first or second round. Ideally in the first round. But then you've got edge problems.
Has Mike McCoy done enough to earn an interview for the Tennessee
Absolutely
Titans?
Oh, God. Don't get Carson going on now. He can't get an interview?
No. Why would you interview? It's an insult to the entire market to interview the guy. It's a formality. It's a waste of time. Why would you interview? Exit interview and goodbye.
Give him a courtesy.
Why?
Why not?
Why do you do a courtesy? It's for show.
What else they have over to do over there? You can give the guy Why? A half hour.
Why?
Well,
hey, we're going to give you a half an hour to waste my time and to waste your time so that we don't hire
you. You know, you talk about an exit interview, but I actually think that an interview for the job, you might actually get more revealing stuff out of it. Maybe you can learn something. Maybe you can get some insights on.
Insight on what?
I don't know.
Insight
players?
On how to be a complete coward on fourth down until we tell you you have to go?
This is why I asked the question.
Yeah, right. Good job.
I mean, there are actually some people out there that think. I got one tweet from a guy that thinks they should retain a whole staff. Which is
that's a hot take.
Mind-boggling. I had to step
that's
away from my.
That's a burner account that is trolling.
I had to step away from my computer. This guy, I mean, they've gotten somewhat better, but people are giving him credit. Like, I don't see his fingerprints on anything. I don't.
So they've improved. He's in charge. Nothing. He gets no credit.
I mean, he's done slightly better. Slightly better. I think the coaching staff is primarily responsible. You know who I think really is responsible?
Well, he's the head coach.
Yeah. Well, yeah. You know who I think is really responsible for what's gone on? Do you think this team, the glue of this team has been Mike McCoy? The reason this team hasn't fallen
apart? I just
apart?
Know he's the head coach.
Yeah, okay, he's the head
coach. So you want to divorce him from all progress?
I think he's divorced from a lot of the progress.
Okay, so who?
I think it's been player-driven. I think it's a good group of guys. They got sick of particularly the offensive line, came back from that Jacksonville game where they scored 3 points and played like crap.
Yep.
And they came back and said, you know what, guys? This is BS. And we're better than this, and we got to play better.
So it's just a mutiny?
This.
There's no coaching going on at all?
I think a guy like Luke Stocker has gotten a lot of credit for it, that he gave them more run game. I do think that McCoy said, let's run more. You know, but in order to run more, you have to not be trailing by two touchdowns in the first quarter. So they weren't trailing by two touchdowns in the first quarter. He's not calling plays. The team does not respect him. Jeff Simmons is standing at his locker with 6 games left saying, we got to have a culture change around here. We need somebody in here who could really get some things done with this team.
So, again,
does that sound like a team that's saying, Mike McCoy, let's do it for Mike McCoy?
So all the bad football, losing, firing, embarrassments, humiliations over years, and you think the culture change is about Mike McCoy? That's the problem with culture is Mike McCoy.
No, I mean, they had a culture problem all season.
And it before this
Brian,
year, too.
Yeah, right. It was Brian Callahan's regime was a failure. Mike McCoy was a Brian Callahan addition, another failure.
I just want to give an interview.
Why?
To be nice.
I think if they, I said this from the beginning, if they interview him for a job and announce that they interviewed him for a job, it's an absolute waste of time and it's a courtesy that he does not deserve. And if they interview him and they don't interview Fossil and they don't interview Wilson, it's an early indication that they don't know what the F they're doing.
That last part I agree with. Those two would definitely be getting an interview before McCoy in my book. I wouldn't hire any of them, but they would be getting interviews before.
Mike McCoy is not qualified to coach in
the
80s.
What if they interview those guys but not him?
Mike McCoy is qualified.
That's what I
would
do.
That's what they should do.
That's what I would do. Nah.
Mike McCoy is not qualified to coach in the 80s, which is his era.
Wasn't he like 10 in the 80s? What? How old is Mike McCoy? Like, he's younger than you? Younger than you.
I think he's 53.
Good God.
Shocking.
Yeah, he's 53.
That's young. He's a child. The 80s, he was in grade school. What are you talking about?
And that's when he formed his football feeling.
I will say.
His feel for the game is from the 80s.
You look great for 53. You really do.
Thank you.
McCoy looks significantly older than you.
A little ruddy. A little ruddy for 53.
I'll take ruddy.
I mean, you know, for a guy that's not a heavy drinker, a little ruddy.
A lot of people are asking rosacea. About gout. I have gout. I have rosacea.
You have rosacea?
I have rosacea,
How have we not covered this? Next week on a very obvious? Special Robbie and Rex Row.
Screw the coaching search. Rosacea.
Gout aside, we dive into rosacea.
Yeah.
Do you take medicine for that or cream?
Yeah.
Yeah?
I do.
You cream your face?
I do.
When yes. In the morning or the evening?
Both.
You have time when you wake up to come in for this show.
To shower? Yeah, I do. I do have personal hygiene. Thanks for asking.
Well, not everybody showers every day. Not everybody has to shower at 4 in the morning.
Uh-huh. But not everybody showers every day, says PK.
That's probably true.
Okay, keep going.
And you shower, and then you apply rosacea medication to your face.
I do.
How long does that process take?
It takes like 6 seconds. Like, what?
6 seconds. Yeah. Well, clearly it's an uneven application.
Okay. PK is now.
I mean, don't you have to, like, rub it until
it's
absorbs?
More, it's more in the cheeks, more in the high part of the face.
The high part of the face, which to him is the cheeks, not the forehead.
Well, I mean, some foreheads are bigger than others, such as yours.
Is there anything else medically you'd like to disclose over here?
I'm trying to think about it. Well, I think that's about
it. Since I've taken over HR, you're going to be filling out some medical paperwork.
All the HIPAA violations possible, please.
Yeah.
I'll decide what's disclosed.
I'll give
like
you, my
you
list
with
of
your
medications.
You with your work review. Got a lot.
Happy New Year, everybody!
Classes start next week. Coaching search starts next week, and my HR job here starts next week. I'm going from binging a lot of Ted Landman and Pluribus to a lot of work on my plate.
Are you grading any papers along the way?
Well, I said classes start next week. I've been off. Yeah.
Let's quickly, mercifully go back to the phone line. Welcome in Dustin to the program. Dustin, good morning.
Dusty.
Thank you for calling in.
This train's still derailing, boys. I just want to know, have y'all done surveys what the average age listener is of the show?
We've got a rough idea.
Yeah, the youth love us.
The youths. Well, the youths.
I can tell by the commercials y'all play. I'm 37, and I have a playbook for erectile dysfunction, gout. Now I know how to apply rubbing creams. Man, I'm ready for 50, I'm telling you.
Yeah, is that all Joe uses the rosacea cream for? Does it have any other medicinal purposes?
Speaking of old people, all these coaches we got. If you're going to interview McCoy, you have to interview Bones Fossil and Denard Wilson. And honestly, Bones has been, you know, the special teams guy, but damn it, that guy, I see him on the sidelines, and I feel like a lot of things that McCoy has changed as far as being more aggressive. Watch the way on them fourth downs, Bones slips over there, and the way he does it, it's all about body language and how you approach people, make it their idea. And I believe a lot of the times, a lot of this stuff is coming from Bones. Like, man, come on, guy. Man, let these young guys get out there and try. What have we got to lose? And Denard Wilson, it's finally showing up that we're having pizza boys out there covering all these wide receivers, and it's finally showing up now, and people like Trey are calling in talking about the defense. Dude, that guy should never leave as defensive coordinator. That may be a stipulation for the next coach. You got to keep Denard. Shoot, look what he's done with nothing. I applaud the man. I give him some kind of award on the way out. They both definitely deserve interviews. And McCoy, he has changed his approach a little bit. So I'm not against giving him one, but you damn sure don't hire him.
Well, so then what do you give him one for?
For shit.
Hey, we're going to interview this guy who we're absolutely not going to hire.
It happens all the time.
I know. Be a maverick and don't waste time. Let's have an efficient process here.
You're so concerned about their time management over there.
I really
want you guys to be able to get to the buffet quicker. Like, what? Let them interview people.
Yeah.
What else are they doing?
Nice long exit interview. Whatever time you were going to dedicate to the job interview, add that to the exit interview. Very thorough exit interview.
What?
Very, very thorough. Here's another thing I'll say about McCoy.
Stop saying things.
When he loosened up on the fourth downs, you know what his first comments
You're
entailed?
You're going to take credit.
I'm not going to take credit. No. But he said, I thought of you, to me. He's thinking of me. I mean, what kind of level of NFL coach tells a reporter, when I went for fourth down today, finally, after weeks of pain, I thought of you.
Yeah, you're quite a pain in the ass. I can see it.
I thought there'd be a reason you'd want him to be hired. We'll have more coming up next.
No, I don't want a coach who's thinking of me, ever.
102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Final segment of the day. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Paul Kuharsky with us from paulkuharsky.com. So, I guess we can check McCoy off the list. If PK's in charge of the interview.
Still, he's all over PK. He's texting me about how intellectually dishonest you are. And I tend to agree. You know, you're like, Luke Stalker, oh, yeah. But you don't want to give Mike McCoy any credit. I don't know, man. Seems like Mike McCoy should get some kind of credit.
What you guys seem to forget, and you've shifted into this because you don't cover anything firsthand anymore, is that I'm out there and I'm talking to people. This isn't straight my opinion.
Yeah.
Yeah. Talking to people used to be the thing to do, Joseph. It used to be the thing to do, but now that I'm not sent to anything, I don't talk to people, and so now I'm like Stilly.
I sit on my couch and judge
things from afar. Yeah. Stilly is so dumb, frankly, and I hate talking about him, that he's convincing himself McCoy's good because I don't like McCoy, and so he's got to be contrarian. So he thinks Mike McCoy's good because I don't like Mike McCoy. And he thinks I'm so simplistic that I don't like Mike McCoy because Mike McCoy's not quotable. Well, what I do when a guy's not quotable is I just quote other people.
It's true. It's true. Hey.
I'm just saying.
You said it earlier. Amy, we'll figure out what Amy wants to do. But Amy, if she wants to interview Mike McCoy, she's going to interview Mike McCoy.
Yeah, and PK will throw a tantrum about it. And I'll laugh at the tantrum, but I just don't think it's worth a tantrum. In all seriousness, like we're mostly trolling PK today. It's great. It's a great way to go out.
I mean, they have won two games.
Yeah, for sure. No,
with
but
Mike McCoy.
No,
so
yeah.
Let's not go crazy.
No, we're
better,
not going crazy.
Better. They're better. They've gotten better.
I think.
But we expected them to get better, right? All season we said this
right?
Team's got to be better at the end. Young players get better when they play a season. I honestly think they would have gotten better. They would have gotten better if Callahan was still in place. They would have gotten better if Fossil or Wilson got the job. And I think they would have gotten more better if one of those guys
Betterer.
Was in control.
Great. Okay, that's fine. I'm just saying that he seems to have done some good things.
Not a utter failure, no.
Okay.
Good to know.
Great. That's all. We'll all agree.
Again, I'll say you guys haven't been around, and I'm telling you, there is no feeling of respect for the guy among the guys.
No, that's fine. That's fine.
None. And I'm not saying that alone. Go talk to any of the people who are around regularly. There's not that feeling. And I don't understand why I have to tell people that when Jeffrey Simmons, again, like 4 weeks ago, stood in front of his locker and said, we need an absolute cultural reshift.
Yeah,
there's nothing here.
So, but
who's he talking about?
Well, so you think that because that was obviously heat of the moment after a bad loss.
Oh, so it didn't mean anything.
No, I'm not saying it doesn't mean anything, but you took that as that's purely a commentary on Mike McCoy.
No, but
it
I
was
think
largely
it is
a commentary on Mike
I don't
Mike
think.
McCoy.
See, I don't think that either. I don't think it's purely a commentary on Mike McCoy, but I also think that it doesn't. It shows you that he doesn't believe that Mike McCoy is some answer to all
that. Yeah, if you're
not
saying,
an answer.
You can't have it both ways. If you're saying.
They should have been mad, especially back then when he was like, fourth and two from the opposing 31. Okay, well, let's punt. You should be mad about that.
If you're saying.
Cam Ward yelled at him.
If you're saying.
I get it.
That, hey, they've won a couple games. Mike McCoy gets credit for it. Then when Jeff Simmons is blasting the organization for the cultural thing. He's talking about the head coach, too. If the head coach gets credit for the turnaround, to win turnaround, then the head coach is who the players are talking about when they're saying the culture's crap.
Yeah, but again, the culture, you know, the culture is everything, though, right? I mean, I feel like Jeff Simmons was madder at J.C. Latham than anyone else in the whole organization this year.
Okay, but by your applying the head coach as the head of things and giving him credit for the wins, then the head coach should be getting through to J.C. Latham.
Okay.
Okay, so the head coach wasn't getting through to J.C. Latham or Tavondre Sweat or all of these things. Well, what the hell took him so long?
It's a fair question.
I'm glad that we could just trash Mike McCoy on our way out of 2025.
I will say
poor
very quickly,
Mike McCoy.
Very quickly, you mentioned the Jacksonville game earlier and how game bad week. It was. I am interested in a game where Jacksonville still got a whole lot to play for, a game where you got embarrassed the last time you played them. Can you put up any sort of fight in this game? I think the line's 12.5. I don't expect them to win. But can you fight in this game?
You expect fight, PK? See. You expect them to fight?
For a while. Okay. And then I expect them to fold.
PK, happy how about new you? Year.
And then I'll go check out the urinal.
PK, happy
and
new
then
year.
I'll monitor Mike's interview. Don't block the box. Be sure to lock your locks in this year and next. Happy New Year, boys. Thank you for
Happy
everything.
New Year. Happy New Year. Happy birthday, Joe Rex.
Yeah.
Happy birthday, Joe.
Here on the program.
Eat all your gaudy food to celebrate.
Next Man Up with Jake Lyman and Corey Curtis coming up next. You're listening to 102.5 The Game.